Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, good afternoon. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area, and all across the nation and around the world. Here we are with the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We hope you'll get settled in and get ready for a great show today. And, of course, what makes it a great show is if you participate. And you may do that by giving us a call at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I was in the outer office of the studio a little bit earlier watching the Bush speech of the day. What is the deal? Are they putting the boy on display every single day now? Is that going to be the deal? He's going to give a speech every single day? We didn't get a speech out of him for like 2 years, and now he's after it every single day, if you want to call it a speech. I'd love to see those notebooks he uses when he gives a speech. You know, he flips them. They got like little flip charts. They put like little cartoons on there for him, too, so he can understand like what he's talking about. I wonder. I'd love to see it. I'd like to see it. You know, is the nomenclature used and the verbiage and the, you know, is it all like the old, well, you remember back in school, you remember the old readers you had in the first grade, see Dick run, run Dick run? I wonder if it's like that. I don't know. I just wonder these things. I did see a picture from over his shoulder a while back, because somebody had, spied on him. Somebody from the press at one of his press conferences had taken a shot from over his shoulder and showed that he had a little chart in front of him there. Did you see that? It was all over the internet. Had a little chart, and what it was a seating chart of the press corps. And he had them numbered and had the names in where they're all set so he could call them by name, and he had some of them crossed out. Yes, he had X's through their names. He wasn't going to call them. Oh, I think they got those things all scripted. He did say it one time, Mary, what, a year or two ago, about the thing being scripted. You never know what he's going to say, do you? But it was the fair speech of the week, and, you know, he's trying so hard to make amends with people nowadays, getting on the air and talking about, oh, we're going to treat these people down in Guantanamo really nice from now on, and all these folks who have been tortured and everything. Why, fear not. Fear not. Things are going to be much better from now on. We're just going to act like a regular, decent country from now on and let these folks, you know, have justice and so forth, the American way. Because, after all, it is an election year, and we want everybody to know that, of course, we good Republicans, we neocon bastards, or excuse me, we Republican folks who are running the country now, we want you to know that all is well, and we will follow the law. We will try and get, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get the... oh, what's the law? I can't think of it all of a sudden. I'm drawing a blank here. But anyway, you know, where they're allowed to spy on everybody. They want to get it passed retroactively so that he's not a felon anymore. You know, right now, actually, the man is a felon. I guess I shouldn't say that. He hasn't been adjudicated yet. He hasn't gone through the court system yet. He should. Oh, yes, he should. He should be on trial. He and several of his folks should be on trial. Yes, the NSA, thank you, on the chat room. People let me know. And welcome to everybody on the Head On Radio Network chat room. We got Angelique on there. We got, hey, Bruce Birch is on there. Sarge is there. Who else? Elo. Everybody. Just millions of, almost millions, nearly millions. The Smart Moms on there. My God, they're just people all over the place. Got some new cute music for you today. When we go to breaks, we've got some new political music. We'll throw one of those in now and then. Just so much to talk about right now. They're getting back to work in Washington. And by the way, I do want to let you know, you wonder some days, I like to try and have an interview just about every day. And of course, we could have interviews every day. I mean, you know that. But I want to have good interviews every day. And, you know, I don't want to get, you know, some of these people that are on every single day. They're calling around trying to get on the air with people every day. And, you know, I get sick of it. And you know some of the names I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. But we'd like to have good quality interviews for you. If not high-profile names, then people that we know are just really, 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 really interesting. And coming up a little later, I think in 2 weeks. No, 1 week from today, as a matter of fact. We're going to have a gentleman on by the name of Mozambeg, and he wrote a book. Oh, my God. I don't have the name of it right here. I don't have the book in front of me right now. But he wrote a book about being, you know, he went through the rendition process and Guantanamo and all this and that. And we'll have to be talking to him from Great Britain because he's not allowed in America anymore, even though he's found completely not guilty of anything. He's not allowed in America anymore, strictly because of his relationship with somebody in a family member. It's ludicrous, the way they treat some of these people. So we'll be talking to him a week from today from Great Britain. That's where he's at right now. And right before the show, we got, and by the way, that's Mozambeg, B-E-G-G, M-O-A-Z-Z-A-M-B-E-G-G. Look, take a look at that. I wish I had that book right here right now. We get so many books from the publishers that I don't have room to keep them in the studio. Good God, it's amazing. And it's kind of neat, really, because what we do is we review the books and the ones we really, really, really love, why we keep, and the ones that are so-so or whatever, why we donate them to the local Democratic Club, because they've got a library and we've got a big shipment of them ready to go over there right now. So it's nice to be able to do that for folks. And you know, I'm sitting here, well, over there on the wall, we do have one shelf pretty well piled up with some great books, and, you know, by John Dean and Michael Isikoff and, you know, the whole group. You know the gang in Washington. Anyway, everybody's getting back to work right now in Washington, and, of course, we keep track of all things political, and one of the things I wanted to mention today, well, did you see Bill Frist, Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States, talking yesterday about how the average family has got $64,000. That's what they make. Why do you say that? The real truth is it's $37,900. That's the real truth. And what else went on yesterday? Oh, of course, we've got this film coming out. And tried to get a hold of Glenn Greenwald today. I want to try to get him on here tomorrow, if we can, to talk about that book. Glenn, well, yeah, you know who Glenn Greenwald is. Glenn's just one of the greatest bloggers there is, and great author and writer as well. I want to get him on here to talk about this right-wing film coming out that Disney's going to put on ABC, which I'm not going to watch come hell or high water. And I usually don't say that. I usually will watch that, but I'm not giving those bastards the benefit of the doubt on this. Why is it they would come out of with a film to try and rewrite history against Bill Clinton? Why would ABC do that? And we've got Richard Clark. You know, they're telling the story evidently in this video that's coming out that ABC is going to have on. That you know that old story. It's tired. It's worn. It's untrue. We knew it was untrue already. But they're going to put it in this film as though it were truth. That what year was it? 96, 97. Clinton had Osama bin Laden surrounded, and the CIA called him from, you know, like right outside OBL's house and said, "Hey, we got him in here. You want us to let him have it or what?" And said the White House hung up on him and didn't do anything, and so that's the reason that Osama bin Laden got away. And we've got Richard Clark, who, by the way, is a Republican. Richard Clark's saying it's all bullshit, that it never happened. Never happened. They claim Sandy Berger was the one who told him, you know, forget it, and Madeleine Albright, and they were afraid of the ramifications of what would happen if they took OBL. You know, got Richard Clark saying it's bullshit. Never happened. Never happened. Never happened. But, you know, what's the deal? They came out with a film here, what, 2-3 years ago about the Reagans? And the right raised holy hell about this film coming out and threatened to boycott and everything else. And so what happens? What do? They sold it to, I don't know, Showtime or somebody like that, where it got just a fraction of the audience that it would have gotten. So, oh, well. And by the way, on this one, as you have probably heard by now, ABC sent the review copies of it around to all the right-wing bloggers and all, but nobody on the left. It's a suspicious deal, the whole thing. 866-546-5254. I do hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254. Do want to hear from you today. Yes, I did it again. Some people ask, and yes, I'm ashamed to say I did it again. I watched some of Junior's speech. Oh, God. You know, I just caught up on all the one from yesterday where he was talking about a failed Austrian painter referring to Hitler. You know, some of these days, history's going to refer to him as a failed Texas cowboy. I mean, it's going to be the same kind of thing. I was thinking, you know, get ready. And God, I hope you're ready. I hope you are ready. The Republicans are going to nail 9/11. Oh, 5th anniversary. Oh, my God. They won't miss a trick. They'll be nonstop 24/7 right-wing talkers. 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. They're going to try and make some hay off of that again, like they did at their convention and like they have been doing all along, politicizing the worst thing that ever happened on American soil, and they've been politicizing it constantly, constantly, constantly. And you ain't heard nothing yet. Just you. You know, and I was thinking, the way they've politicized this whole thing, and they've had this big fight on what to do in Washington, or in New York about this, you know, about building new buildings or towers or a park or a memorial or whatever it is they decide to do. I've thought better of that. I think what they need to do is build a huge, I'm talking, let's do it right. Let's talk huge. Maybe half the size or maybe the total height of one of the Twin Towers, okay? Stay with me on this. A statue of George W. Bush, that big, okay? And with a hard hat on and that bullhorn in his hand, you know that? A big-ass bronze statue. About half the size or maybe the full size of one of the Twin Towers, George. And, you know, they can hang red, white, and blue flashing lights all over it and have nightly fireworks and play God Bless America music 24 hours a day on it. That's what they really need to do. Yes. Let's stop fighting on what to do with that right there. Let's just build a great big-ass statue of George W. Bush right there. After all, he's the one that made the most hay off of it, right? He's the one, is his administration where it happened, right? So let's give credit where credit is due. And let's build just a gigantic statue of George W. Bush right there. It could be like a, kind of like a Disney World thing, you know? I mean, it could be little rides up into the inside of it, you know, like little roller coasters and everything, red, white, and blue cars. I mean, I got some big ideas for it. I think George would be right proud. I really do. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Given these speeches day in, day out now, and everybody from the administration, he's got Rummy out there. And by the way, Rummy, we hope you're doing just so well after your surgery. I guess he had arthroscopic surgery on his rotator cuff yesterday, an old injury of some kind back that they wanted to let us know last night. It was probably done back when he was an athlete or when he used to brag about doing one-armed push-ups all the time. And by the way, the title of that Mozambique's book, and thanks for letting me know, is Enemy Combatant, a British Muslim's Journey. to Guantanamo and back. Actually, it's a story of going to hell and back, if you ask me, after reading it. Whew, jeez. But Rummy had surgery, and I guess he's coming along just fine, and he's going to be able to make his political speeches later on in the week that he already had scheduled, and you know what kind of speeches they're going to be. More Republican desperation speeches. But speeches on, you know, he had a little rotator cuff. Someone writes on the chat room, Rumsfeld heard his rotator cuff jerking around the American people. I was afraid he was going to say, never mind. oh, my. But, you know, Bushy gave his speech today, and I have to admit, he's getting a little better giving a speech. He is. He doesn't smirk quite as much as he used to. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but... And did you see, and by the way, I want to ask everybody, if you call in today, I'm going to try and ask everybody, if I can remember, would like to know, what did you think, if you saw Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News last night? I did not. I've heard, I read hundreds of opinions, and... I'll tell you what, there wasn't any gray area there. They hated her or they loved her. I personally, myself, can't imagine Katie Couric doing a serious newscast. I really can't. And I guess Rush Limbaugh is bragging that he's going to be on there tomorrow. They're going to do an interview with somebody every week. And so Rushy was bragging to his the members of his website or whatever that he's going to be on there tomorrow, and he's going to be representing Republican values and Republican ideas that don't often get to hit the air because of the liberals control the media. You know, that's what the story that Rushy was giving everybody. So I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be nonstop terror. It's going to be nonstop war. It's going to be nonstop, we're saving your ass, every day, every single day. And by the way, Limbaugh said he didn't want to let everybody know what he was going to talk about because he didn't want the cat out of the bag. He said he was going to represent the Republican values and so forth. I don't know. Surely he'll talk about his little trip down to the Dominican Republic, won't he? I mean, wouldn't that be the right thing to do? I mean, you know, it was a well-publicized event. Had that little bit of, what is it, Viagra with him that was registered to somebody else, to his doctor. And they went down there. So, gosh, you know, I kind of like to know if he's going to talk about that. Because, you know, we talked about it here after a while. Somebody's taking too much hydrocodone or oxycontin, if they've filled their body with prescription painkillers to the point where they've lost their hearing, or if they've abused controlled substances to where other parts of the body don't work, don't worry about it. Try Viagra. Yes, Viagra will help you overcome a variety of problems. If you're too plastered to perform, try Viagra. If you're too doped up to do it, Rush, try Viagra. And for a limited time only, get in on the Limp Limbaugh Viagra Vacation Extravaganza. That's right. You can leave Miami on a private jet, fly down to the beautiful Dominican Republic, where a private car will whisk you off to the finest brothels filled with dozens of alluring cuties willing to fulfill your every desire for only a dollar. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, only a dollar buys you the affections of a beautiful Dominican pay-for-play gal. And if, like Rush, you enjoy something a little different now and then, there's probably some handsome young boys available for your pleasure as well. And if doped-up, drunken debauchery is your desire, then join Rush on the Limp Limbaugh Viagra Vacation Extravaganza. And if you're out of your favorite mind-altering drugs, not to worry. Rush has a full staff of doctors who will prescribe any medication you desire, including enough Viagra to get you aroused, even after seeing a picture of a naked Ann Coulter. So, that message brought to you by Limp Limbaugh. All right. I'm terrible. All right. You don't have to remind me. I know I'm terrible. 866-546-5254. I think we're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
That's right, it's one of my favorite songs from back home. Home on the Range. Oh,
Give me a home where no liberals roam, and the folks all think the same way. Where each house has a gun, a big caliber one, and strangers are told, make my day. Home, home on the range, where the beer and the cantaloupe lay. Where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or so that it's one I can say. All right. Got Condi on piano back there. Had to be careful with her, though. She's used to playing that Mozart Beethoven crap. They let me play and make Congress go away. The agenda that I would put through, each grade through the eighth would be taught based on faith, where the children all praying on cue. Oh, home, home on the range. That's Texas. Where the beer and the cantaloupe lay. Where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or so that it's one I can say. All right. Well, we're going to have Russ Limbaugh sing on this, but can't do it because of his cochlear implant. Sorry. Sorry, Russ. Oh, the budget's a mess. Oh, that much, I'll confess. But I've got Saddam's gun on my wall, and I'll let the Psalms guide my nuclear bombs, them terrorists gone once and for all. That's right. Home, home on the range. Bring it on. Where the beer and the cantaloupe lay. Where seldom is heard a three-syllable word, or if so, then it's one I can say. That's right, bring it home. Here we go. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly on guitar. Thank you, Chaney on backup. Tom DeLay on the high tenor. That's right.
All right, we're back here with the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. See, we got a nice little audience here this afternoon, and hope you're ready and willing to participate in the program today. Yes, 866-546-5254. And let's go to the phone, by the way. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, how are you doing?
Pretty doggone good.
You know, you've messed up my whole day. I've got a graphic picture and cold or naked now, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, no, I'm very sorry.
It just reminds me of science class, man. You know those skeletons that you look at?
You better head on down to local liquor store, whether you're a drinker or not. Get yourself a bottle of some kind of good whiskey and drink it all right down. Get that vision out of your head right now.
Well, you know, I got a funny story to tell you about her. My mother was a culter. And so Anne is a very, very distant kin to me.
Oh, Jesus. Well, there were some really good Coulters. There was that good singer, Jesse Coulter.
Yeah, Jesse Coulter. Well, now here's what's funny. She comes out of the Peter Coulter line. And she went to a reunion one time for Peter Coulter. And she was so bad that within 30 minutes, everybody was just running from her. She was just obnoxious and vile and vulgar and everything, and everybody was just fed up with her. So after the reunion, they took her off the invitation list, and they tell everybody that they invite. Now, if you invite Ann Coulter, don't come. That's true. That's a true story.
The pariah of the family reunion. Oh, my God.
But, you were talking about the way they're going to do this thing. Terror, scare. But the question is, how many people have they actually arrested in the terror thing and got a conviction?
Well, they really don't have to get convictions, you know, Sarge, but because they're not concerned with convictions. But man, they have arrested a lot of number two guys.
Oh yeah, that number two man. I think my dogs found one this morning under his bed. I'm not sure. they're ridiculous. And you got a guy like Victor Lopez. I was telling you about him in the chat. You can read his column at powersandmorris.com. He wrote some bad checks. He was 21 years old, wrote some bad checks, and he's spending 10 years in prison in Puerto Rico for checks he wrote in the Virgin Islands.
Ooh.
10 years, man.
10 years.
He had checks in Virgin Islands, California, Illinois, and Florida. Illinois, Florida, and California all dropped the charges on him. But the Virgin Islands threw the book at him, and the judge resigned the next day and ran for governor.
Oh.
Tough on crime.
Tough on crime, yeah.
But that's the way these thugs do. They're so full of trash, and then they go out and they rewrite the history, and they'll make someone like Victor for writing checks sound like he robbed 15 banks and murdered 200,000 people when all he did was write a few bad checks.
Well, man, if they put everybody away in a Puerto Rican prison for writing bad checks, they'd have half the U.S. Congress would have to be down there, you know, for that House banking scandal they had a few years back.
Well, now, you know, that's what Victor told me. There is a DA that's actually working for Victor, and he's going to ask them in the court when they go to try and appeal this case. He's going to ask them, do you throw everybody in the Virgin Islands in jail that writes a bad check? Because if so, there's nobody hadn't been to jail on this island.
Oh, man, I wouldn't even take my checkbook down there. It's plastic for me.
Oh, man, even plastic I'd be scared of. Gee. But, you know, that's what's wrong, man. This fascist states of America, we've got to do away with it and bring back the United States of America, because that's all these Republicans are a bunch of fascist pigs. And they don't care about us. You can come down here and see that.
Oh yeah.
But it's ridiculous, guy. And I appreciate voices like you. And I hope you got Mike on tomorrow, because we're really looking forward to him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying to hook up with them this evening. They were traveling and didn't have a hard line. Of course, Kathy wasn't nuts. You know, Kathy's a great producer, and she knows the ropes. And she suggested, well, let's not do it on a cell phone. And so as soon as they light and get a hard line here, why, we'll get hooked up one way or another, and we'll get that going.
Well, I tell you what, everybody's just anxious as hell to hear from Mike, and I guess I'm at the top of the list, because I can't wait to hear his voice either. I love that man to death. That,
well, I just hope he comes on and lets us know how much he hates those bastards.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Guy, it's been nice talking to you again. It's always a pleasure, and sir, you are a legend in the business.
Legend in my own mind. Hey, thanks for calling, Sarge. Bye now. I'm in a mood today. I don't know. I'm just in some kind of a crazy mood today. Yesterday, I was all pissed off about at the world, and today. And I hope you will give us a call, 866-546-5254. But, you know, you can see a pattern developing here, and it's one of the main things I wanted to talk about today, and I'm going to take just a few minutes here and talk about it before I take any more phone calls. You can see a pattern developing right now from the right, and if you can't, there's got to be something wrong with you. And if you can't see this pattern developing, you don't go vote, please, because you're not smart enough to vote if you can't see what's happening here. You know, right after the 9/11 attack, and I said that about building that statue to Bush in jest, but hell, they might as well do it. They've been living off of that. They've been living off of that all this time. They really have. And right after 9/11, almost everybody agreed that we had to hunt down and bring to justice the people responsible for that attack, and it was Al-Qaeda and the mysterious at that time, Osama bin Laden. So. Without a lot of argument from anybody, we went over and we invaded Afghanistan, which had been harboring bin Laden and the rest of his jihadist group due to the rule of the Taliban. They were kind of protecting him. Just about everybody was on board with Bush on that one. And initially, it looked like we were going to prevail in Bush's war on terror. And things didn't go as well as we thought they would, and that was just a harbinger of things to come. we got rid of the Taliban, a ragtag group of barbaric guys who ruled Afghanistan with an iron hand, love cutting people's hands off and all that kind of thing. But the main target of our incursion into that horrible place got away. Bin Laden escaped right out from under our noses into no man's land between Afghanistan and Pakistan up in the mountains there. And, of course, we were left with the task of rebuilding Afghanistan because we'd torn it down, and we being the nice guys and gals that we are, we always seem to rebuild whatever we destroy with our bombs. So, anyway, and even what other people destroy with their bombs, in i.e. Israel and Lebanon. So, anyway, here we were in the land the Russians left with their tails between their legs after a decade of trying to defeat these people, and things were going slow, and the administration needed some more good press. So instead of going after bin Laden in a serious way, in a very serious way, we pulled our troops out of Afghanistan, and we went after a much more visible target. We went after Saddam Hussein. So all of a sudden, we had this war on terror on our hands instead of just going after the guy and his merry band of jihadists who attacked us in the first place. Remember Bush saying, I don't know where bin Laden is and I don't care, you know, after saying, you know, we're going to get him dead or alive, we're going to smoke him out of those caves and all that kind of crap and get him dead, or, you know. But then he came around a few months later after, you know, not being able to find him and said, I don't know where bin Laden is and I don't care. And well, as it turns out, he really didn't care where he was. He really didn't care. Couldn't have cared less because he had this big fish in his sights now. He had good old Saddam Hussein, the guy he wanted to go after since even before he put his hand on the Bible and swore to preserve, protect, and pretend, you know, the Constitution of the United States. Never mind. He must have had his other hand behind his back with his fingers crossed. But, you know, never mind that Saddam had no affiliation with the folks that hijacked the planes on 9/11. Never mind that Saddam was a cat that had been declawed. Never mind that Junior Bush's own daddy's advisors had said a decade earlier that going to Baghdad would absolutely be a fool's mission. We were going after him. Junior had a desire to look like a hero, the guy who got the guy his daddy couldn't get in the oil. Don't forget the oil. And just as an aside, someone has forgotten the oil because no one seems to know how much is being pumped or where it's going or who's getting the money for it, but that's another story for another day. My, isn't this interesting? There is no real victory in Afghanistan since bin Laden was still enjoying his evening meals and all. So Bush and his boys decided they needed some new excitement, a new challenge, a new way to get in the headlines and prove that they were tough, do what we say, guys. They were going to take down Saddam Hussein. They could then say, yay, we won, and then walk out of Iraq and show the American people that were, you know, what a bunch of tough hombres they were, by God. They're just tougher nails. So there's no victory in Afghanistan, but this little foray into Iraq was going to be a cakewalk with people, you know, greeting us at Liberators with flowers in the streets and the Iraqi people inviting American soldiers into their houses for dinner at night. It was just going to be just great. It's going to be a big party. But a funny thing happened on the way to the Green Zone. Yes, these people were glad Saddam was gone, but they also began to realize that since he was gone, they could now do anything they damn well pleased. They could loot the businesses, they could take over the military depots, they could take out all the dynamite they'd ever need in the future to make IEDs to drive out the infidel Americans. Hell, they could even go around killing the people they didn't like, but couldn't kill while Saddam was alive because that was his fun and he got to do it. So now they understand that they had the full, they could do any damn thing they wanted to all of a sudden. And it was great sport killing each other and killing Americans. And the really odd thing is that none of our kids are getting invited to dinner. There were no flowers. There was no real dancing in the street. Actually, the only real dancing in the street was that little staged movie. You remember that? That little movie they made, the military made the day they dragged down the statue of Saddam. They had that chain hooked onto that tank and had that huge crowd gathered there in the square in Baghdad. Kind of a lights, camera, action type feel to it. You remember that. I know you do. And the really odd thing is that none of our kids are getting invited to dinner. And they had this staged little deal of pulling down that statue. And the Junior Bush people had missed a couple of details that turned out to be a little bit important. They failed to recognize that these people were going to be killing each other by the scores, and they're also going to be killing Americans because they resented being occupied by a foreign army. Seems it didn't matter what they thought of Saddam. they liked living under his rule, and they liked being told what to do by, you know, him a whole hell of a lot more than they liked being told what to do by George W. Bush, some asshole from another continent that's, you know, an infidel in their eyes. So here we are once again in another war that we're not winning, just like Afghanistan. And the question for Junior Bush and his man, the Merrymakers, is now, what do we do now? What do we do now? We look pretty stupid in our actions in Afghanistan, and we sure as hell don't look so smart right now, considering this quicksand our military stuck in over in Iraq. So what do we do now to look good with this doggone election coming up? Everybody get around the table and think about that. Carl, what do you think? Dick, what do you think? Rummy, how about it? You see, the American people finally wised up and figured out that we're getting our asses kicked by another ragtag army in Iraq, and they don't like it, so the Republicans have to figure out how to pull off another diversion to take the heat off of them so that they can keep their power in Washington. That's what this is all about. What do we do now? You know, you can just see them. You can just see them sitting in the room thinking there. Aha! Iran. Ha, ha, ha! Yes, Iran. They are the bastards we need to go after. Yes, sir. Never mind the Afghanistan thing. Never mind that little dust-up going over in Iraq there. Let's get ourselves a new boogeyman, and let's go after Iran. What a cool idea. Ahmadinejad is Hitler incarnate. And all the Republicans agree that Ahmadinejad is probably worse than Hitler because he's developing the bomb. The bomb. Bomb! Run for your lives! Iran is making the bomb! Probably a couple thousand of them, and they're going to annihilate us. We got to bomb them now. We got to bomb them right now. But wait, there's a problem. If we go after Iran, let's think this through. If we go after Iran now, doesn't that show that we were wrong in going to Iraq in the first place? Won't the stupid American people figure this thing out? See, here's the deal. If it's actually Iran that's the big nasty boogeyman in the Middle East, then why the hell did we ever go into Iraq? What did we accomplish by getting 2,600 and some odd soldiers of our killed there? What did we accomplish? If Iran's a big deal, why did we go into Iraq in the first place? Well, for one thing, we sure got the Iranians all worked up, and the level-headed people in that country who were beginning to come around, who might otherwise tend to want to promote some goodwill toward America, are not feeling too good about us right now, are they? You know, that little axis of evil thing and all that. And now we're rattling our sabers at them. You know, there was a fairly decent pro-USA sentiment in Iran before Bush started his rhetoric against them, but you can kiss that goodbye. And this has worked out pretty doggone well for Iran because we got rid of their mortal enemy for them. Nice work, huh? If you plan on making war in Iran, it just doesn't seem like the best idea in the world to get rid of a neighbor who hated their asses and killed millions of them. And by getting rid of Saddam, we helped the Shias in Iran gain a bunch of power in Iraq. And the really coolest part of the whole deal is that now our military people in Iraq are losing sleep because any day now the Iranian Shias just might call for a jihad against the foreign occupiers, putting our kids right in the middle. Now, I don't want to rub salt into the wounds of Junior Bush and his band of crazies, and I could be wrong, but I've got the distinct impression that our nation's credibility has been flushed right down the toilet, along with our military being tremendously degraded in both men and machines, and the Iranians, not being stupid, now realize that they're playing a better hand than we have. They've realized that Junior Bush either has to fold or go all in, and the latter isn't an option right now. So, if, like they've been saying here lately, Ahmadinejad is Hitler, then we've sure done a hell of a lot to help him rise to power. We've even stamped out his modern-day Hitler's archenemy for him. What more could he want? You know, you stop and think about it. Ahmadinejad has got to be in hog heaven right now. Oh, that's not a very good analogy. Talking about a Muslim guy being hog heaven, I apologize for that. But he does have to be really happy that Junior Bush has chosen to make him the most popular guy in Iran, and that's exactly what Junior Bush has done for this guy. Ahmadinejad, you know, before Bush started putting all the focus on him, he was looked upon as sort of a crazy, a minor politician with just a kind of a ceremonial president or whatever with very little power. Since the mullahs really run things in Iran, can you say Ayatollah Khomeini? But now he's become this all-powerful, popular Iranian leader who's standing up against the great Satan, and the whole Arab world is looking at him saying, right on, Mahmoud, right on, baby. He even made Bush like look like a complete fool by sending him a letter offering to debate him. I love that one. I thought that was a great mood. You know, I got no use for that Ahmadinejad guy, but I thought that was just a pretty doggone good move. Sending the President of the United States, one George W. Bush, a letter and wanting to debate him. Can you imagine this on TV? Can you imagine that? And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have on the left here, we have George W. Bush. He's a cattle rancher, brush trimmer, and so forth from Crawford, Texas. And on the right, we've got Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, President of Iran. George, what is that little bump in the back of your coat there? I'm wondering if George Bush would show up at the debate with another big hump in his back like he did with the Kerry debate. I just wonder. So all Bush has managed to do is to empower this guy so that he can continue on with his goading the United States and continue to threaten to produce nukes and strike fear into the hearts of the Western world while looking like a hero to the Arab world. You know, here's a guy who was getting nowhere with the Iranian people, and now he's been turned into a benevolent, powerful leader who's making an absolute ass of George W. Bush. And George W. Bush certainly knows it. How'd you like to be in Bush's shoes nowadays, having to go out and make a speech every single day, knowing that, first of all, you can't give a speech to save your ass, and secondly, knowing that 60-some percent of the American people are looking at you every time you do give a speech and going, man, you are a dumbass, you really are. My cousin Joe with three teeth sitting out on the front porch drooling is smarter than you are. You know that's how it is. You know that's how it is. How would you? Oh, I couldn't take it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call, and we hope you will. We're going to pause for a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
On vacation all the summer long, doing some intense relaxing just to keep our country strong. I've been seeing Condoleezza, Donald Rumsfeld too. Fox News said I'm still the greatest, so I guess it must be true. Iraq is going well, liberal doesn't sell, Bolton's in New York. I sit back and beam, Roberts is supreme, my revenge for Bork. Someone's been removing some brushweed, that someone is me. Someone's been removing some brushweed, the burden of the presidency. It's tough work being a president, got out of that hoeing and raking. I've been working on vacation, chasing hares and moles. Cindy Sheehan notwithstanding, and I never read the polls. What's the point? I've made no mistakes I know of, that's just not like me. I subscribe to presidential infallibility. Intelligent design, the notion seems divine. Science must be raw, wall, wrong. The world's initial phase took place in 7 days. I knew it all along. I read the Bible. Next year I won't take 5 weeks. Next year I'll take 666. I need time to plan Iran's invasion and to get my barbecue. I keep burning on my dogs.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
And on Friday, I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
Well, what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
Well, now and then you hit the wrong button. Anyway, you know, every time I listen to Agnes in that commercial, that union commercial, I think, you know, that woman's got a job, got a voice that's just out of sight. She's got the best female voice I think I've ever heard on the air. She needs to have a show. I mean, if that bitch Ann Coulter can be on the air all the time and all that, and you know, Agnes is a lot better looking, got a great voice, and obviously a lot more intelligent. And then you think about who's that woman on the right? You got that, that woman used to be president of NOW, who the lesbian woman out in L.A. that now she turned radical right wing, Tammy Bruce, and of course the Laura Ingraham. Why, Agnes had put them to shame. Absolutely put them to shame. Agnes considered, at least, okay? Hey, good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Great to have you give us a call today and let us know. Hey, somebody sent me a little note this afternoon, I'm used to getting cute notes from this person, and I think this is just great. I love a good joke. And this is not a joke-telling show, but I love this. And the guy, this is a tale from a man who shall remain anonymous. When our lawnmower broke and wouldn't run, my wife kept hinting to me that I should get it fixed. But somehow, I always had something else to take care of. First the truck, the car, fishing, hunting, something more important to me, you know. Finally, she thought of a clever way to make her point. When I arrived home one day, I found her seated in the tall grass, busily snipping away with a tiny pair of sewing scissors. I watched silently for a short time and then went into the house. I was gone only a few minutes, and when I came out, I handed her a toothbrush. And I said, when you finish cutting the grass, you might as well sweep the sidewalk. Well, the doctors say I will walk again, but I will always have a limp. Marriage is a relationship in which one person is always right, and the other is the husband. There you go, guys. There you go. That's your thought for the day. Oh, my God. A little later today, Bush and all them, they just can't get off that Nazi kick, can they? Everybody's Nazis now. You know, anybody they don't like, I guess, is a Nazi. So since they want to talk so much about Nazis, we're going to talk about Nazis just a little later today, and probably in a manner that in which the Bush folks wouldn't like. But what are you going to do? You know, you can't make everybody happy all the time. You really can't. How many of you saw this story on the news? I about fainted when I read this. I thought this was a joke. Honestly, I did. Every once in a while, you know, you got to watch out. There are these parodies and so forth rolling around the internet, and you get stung by one once in a while. But it's news that's several hours old now, but it can't be repeated enough. Our Pakistani allies, the country we've dumped billions into, including military technology, the country we allowed to get away with the house arrest for a nuclear proliferator, the country that was a democracy but now isn't, But that's okay, since Musharraf is our friend, you know. Any dictator is fine as long as we need him at the moment. They've capitulated to the Taliban and to bin Laden. Major General Shaukat Sultan Khan, press secretary to the president of Pakistan, tells ABC News that if found, get this, if found, Osama bin Laden will not be arrested as long as he promises to behave like a, quote, peaceful citizen. If he's in Pakistan, bin Laden would not be taken into custody, Major General Shaukat Sultan Khan told ABC News in a telephone interview, as long as one is being like a peaceful citizen, reports Brian Ross and Gretchen Peters at ABC's blog, The Blotter. No, as long as one is being like a peaceful citizen, one would not be taken into custody, said Khan. One has to stay like a peaceful citizen. He loves that term, doesn't he? Peaceful citizen. And not allowed to participate in any kind of terrorist activity. The surprising announcement comes as Pakistani army officials announced they were pulling their troops out of the North Waziristan region as part of a peace deal with the Taliban, reports ABC. So on the very day Bush was proclaiming the victories against Al-Qaeda, Osama was getting away with it all. This seems a good reason to celebrate at all three of the locations that got the airplanes crashed in. The man who was determined to strike the United States, and he did so. He did it on George Bush's watch, and don't forget that. Meanwhile, ABC, who employs those who broke this story, is planning on broadcasting that slanted piece of GOP-inspired bullshit talking about Bill Clinton not being mindful of bin Laden before 9/11. While in the present day, Junior Bush presides over both the attack of 9/11 and the capitulation of his allies to Osama bin Laden. Would somebody from the Bush camp like to explain that one to me? I'd love to hear the answer to that. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you give us a call today. It's one of those days you wonder, hey, are these phones working? Must be a quiet afternoon. It is Wednesday, hump day, one of the more quiet days of the week in the old radio biz. Certainly is. What else did we have on here today? I wanted to talk about, we had a gentleman as a guest on the program just not too terribly long ago, about 2 weeks ago. His name is Dar Jamil, and he was talking about the situation in Iraq. Just how volatile it really is, especially anywhere outside the green zone. And he sent me a report that says the U.S. military has lost control. Now get this. Here's a guy that's there, all right? He's there. The U.S. military has lost control over the volatile Al-Anbar province, Iraq police and residents both say. The area to the west of Baghdad includes Fallujah, Ramadi, and other towns that have been, you know, that have actually seen the worst of military occupation and the strongest resistance. Despite massive military operations which destroyed most of Fallujah and much of the cities like Haditha, Al-Qaim, and Ramadi, real control of the city now seems to be in the hands of the local resistance. After all of that, he goes on to say, in losing control of this province, the U.S. would have lost control over much of Iraq. You know how they like to, what is there, 18, if I got that right, 18 provinces in Iraq, and they like to brag that we've got control of 14 of them. The only problem is there's about 75 of the population in the other four that are left. He goes on to say, we're talking about nearly a third of the area of Iraq. Ahmed Salman, a historian from Fallujah, told IPS, Al-Anbar borders Jordan, Syria, and Saudi Arabia, and the resistance there will never stop as long as there are American soldiers on the ground. Salman said the U.S. military is working against itself. Their actions ruin their goal because they use these huge, violent military operations which kill so many civilians and make it impossible to calm down the people of Al-Anbar province. Well, haven't we been saying that for a while now? The resistance seems in control of the province now. They go on to quote, no government official can do anything without contracting the resistance first. Government official in Ramadi, Abu Ghalib, told IPS, that's the Interpress News Service, of which Dar Jamil runs it, actually on the ground in Baghdad. Even the governor used to take their approval for everything. When he stopped doing so, they issued a death sentence against him, and now he cannot move without American protection. Recent weeks have brought countless attacks on U.S. troops in Haditha, Ramadi, Fallujah, and on the Baghdad-Amman Highway. Several armored vehicles have been destroyed and dozens of U.S. soldiers killed in the Al-Anbar province, according to both Iraqi witnesses and the U.S. Department of Defense. Long stretches of the 550-kilometer Baghdad-Amman Highway, which crosses all the way across to Al-Anbar province, are now controlled by resistance groups, and other parts are targeted by highway looters. And they're telling us that things are going so well. What was it they said the other day? Swimmingly. Yes, swimmingly. Things are going, I think it was Ms. Coulter that we were talking about earlier, said things are going swimmingly in Iraq. And just last night, I heard some colonel on here sort of talking. See, I'm damn tired of this. You don't hear about all the great things, and he was going on and on and on, saying the great things outnumber the bad things 10-1, but you don't hear about them here in the United States. It's really disgusting. The press is failing the people of the United States, and he was going on and on and on and on about how the press is failing the people of the United States by not promoting all the good news taking place in Iraq. Let me tell you something. You've listened to this program for a while, most of you. You've heard a lot of people, soldiers, letters from soldiers. You've heard people on the ground in Iraq. You've heard Dar Jamil that wrote this report right here. Outnumbered, the good things outnumbering the bad, Iraq 10-1. Oh, tell me more about that one. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, this Guy?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay. Hi, Guy. This is Michelle. And, you know, you're talking about a little bit about the ABC horrible docudoc drama.
Yes.
Now, do you know that President Clinton requested a copy and he was denied?
I heard that. Can you imagine?
Fact. Well, yeah, I can, because we have Nazis in our government who are in charge. So, well, yeah, I can.
So it appears. It's just unbelievable to me that they would do this and then refuse to copy this to a former president of the United States. Yay or nay for him, either way. I mean, just respect. But, of course...
Well, it shows no respect for the presidency at all. None.
No.
Whatsoever. It's shameless. They're pandering to the right on this thing is shameless. Now, Fire Dog Lake is a place that I go to, the place I read at and post at all the time. Jennifer Nix has been reporting on this, and she's got like, I guess, about four pieces up in the last couple of days. And she was able to be in on the conference call with the ABC executives.
Clinton was?
No. Jennifer Nix.
Jennifer Nix was. Okay. Okay. I got you.
And apparently, we are. Somebody is going to get one for President Clinton. I mean, I imagine he can pretty much get anything he wants. But,
I would hope.
Well, but this is ridiculous, and I think that's definitely worth reporting. You know, that he was officially turned down by ABC, and so was Madeleine Albright, actually, by the way.
Here we've got Limbaugh been crowing all week about this. Talking about how this is finally going to set the record straight, and now the American public's going to realize that how bad, that 9/11 falls squarely in the lap of Bill Clinton. Oh, God. I live across the state from Rush Limbaugh on the West Coast. He lives on the East Coast, so there are days when I feel like driving over there.
I don't doubt it. That man is vile. I don't believe he's human. There's something deeply wrong with him. And, you know, there's these authoritative conservatives, you know, the what John Dean was talking about in his book.
Oh yeah, the authoritarian figures. Yes.
Right. Now there's a pretty firm bit of evidence to show that like most of these guys have some like bad thing in their childhood, some kind of trauma. I mean, Karl Rove and his gay stepfather, and just child abuse, just all kinds of stuff, you know. And it seems pretty clear these people have just they've all gone off the deep end. There's literally something wrong with them mentally.
Did you ever think you'd see the day when the people with the most deep-seated emotional problems would be running the country?
Well, I hoped I wouldn't.
I never even, to be honest with you, I never considered it. I never considered it. Well, you know, that could never happen. Don't make me laugh. We'll always have the most straightforward, mentally balanced, intelligent people running this country. It's not working out right now.
Well, that's a little delusional guy.
Yeah, I guess so.
But you know, the thing you got to look at is you got to look at liberals and progressives as a group. We're really regular people with common sense, decent education, decent family values, a good sense of community, and so you expect that everybody else is going to be like that too.
One would
and
think
these people are just not. They're just crazy, and that's why Democrats lose a lot, because we're decent people. We don't play dirty for the most part, and
no, we don't. I don't know if you heard yesterday's show. I had such an angry mood on yesterday.
I did.
I just have to start fighting back. I can't stand it anymore. I just can't stand it. So it's going to be tit for tat for a while.
I feel the same way. I do. I mean, it's they've stretched the line so far beyond common decency that it's not even funny.
Absolutely.
And we're going to be run over if we don't fight back.
That's right. That's right.
You got to start calling a spade a spade. I mean, these people are liars. They're liars. Straight up liars.
You got to admit they're pretty doggone good at it.
Well, sure. You know, when you do something all your life, practice makes perfect.
But you know who, we were talking about, a friend of mine and I were talking about Karl Rove the other day. He's kind of non-political and doesn't keep on it like you do and like I do and like a lot of our listeners do. We've got our audience, as you well know if you listen to the show, they're just pretty well up on things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got to talking about Karl Rove, and he was telling me how brilliant it was of him to attack John Kerry the way he did on his military record. And
this
I said,
was voting?
Yeah, I said, mm-hmm. do you understand what happened there? He always takes the opponent's strength and beats him over the head with it. Their weakness and exploit it. And they're doing that again right now. They're taking their biggest weakness, this Iraq war, and trying to spin it around. And God, I hope the American public is not that gullible.
Well, I don't think it's so much necessarily that they're gullible. I think that they're not paying attention. And I think that's part of the plan. I mean, you know, the economy is in the tank. You know, it's fine for CEOs, but it's for the regular person. I mean, wages have gone down. Real wages have gone down. That's a fact. That's not any kind of spin. That's a fact.
But there is some good news to that. Have you heard? Here's the good. It's a good news, bad news. The gender pay gap has narrowed.
Right.
That's the good news. The bad news is that the men's wages have fallen faster than the women's.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing is just I'm sick to my stomach about it all. I really am. I'm obsessed with the election this year. I believe it's the most important election of our generation.
And what state are you in?
Of my lifetime. I'm in Texas.
Okay.
I'm in shitty Texas.
Well,
boy, do I hate it here.
I spent a week there one day last summer.
Mm-hmm.
In Crawford.
You were at Cindy's place. Yeah, mm-hmm. we went up there for a couple of days.
Nice place, Crawford, Texas.
It's a shithole.
You're being real kind.
I know. The whole state is like that. I mean, I live down in San Antonio, and, it's like, remember the Alamo and all that. It's like, you guys lost. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let the damn state go. This is Mexico down here. It really is. And it's 62% Mexican in San Antonio, and that's all well and good, but the Mexicans here are pretty hostile to whites, and I understand that too, because this place was taken by force. Many of the people that live here now are descendants of people that lived here when it was Mexico. I'd be angry too.
Sure.
And we're active duty military, don't have a choice but to be here right now for 9 more months. And the state, I'm telling you, people are so asleep here, Guy. They think George Bush is great. And, like, my next-door neighbor, he's about the nicest guy. He's a gentleman, nice guy. And, he thinks Bush is... He thinks he's had some rough spots, but he thinks he's doing okay.
Some rough spots?
Yeah. I know.
Wait a minute. I need to go over to the corner and scream here for a minute. You live near a military base.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm looking for a paper.
Blackland.
I'm looking for
Blackland
a paper.
Air Force Base.
Oh, geez, I can't find this paper.
What are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for a paper that I found a story about that I wanted to talk about today. A friend of mine and I had a big argument over it. Where is it? I got to find this. I have to find it.
Okay. Look for it.
Here we go. Since you're on military, we went 6 minutes past the news and didn't even get it, you and I talking here. the rest of you can talk amongst yourselves. I labeled this as a support the troops story, and a friend of mine sent me this from the USA Today newspaper, and it's that story about these predatory lenders that seem to want to set up around all the military bases around the country. The payday loan places.
400% interest?
Yeah.
Something like
and,
that?
And a payback of $834 for a $339 loan. It's disgusting, and it's more than disgusting. Here's one airman says his wife took out a $500 loan, and after the refinancing it several times because they didn't have the income to pay it back, they had to pay $2,600 back for $500. So anyway, the Democrats tried to put a bill through to put a stop to this, and it was voted down
by the Republicans.
Yeah, and some Democrats. And I thought, what? Support our troops. Support our troops. And they vote down a bill like this? I mean, I just was beside myself. I don't know. Joe Biden voted against it.
Joe Biden just likes the sound of his own voice.
Doesn't he, though?
I don't want to bitch about Democrats right now because I'm mad enough at them. I want to keep my focus on the Republicans. And March 2005, the Republicans voted down the stipulation in the bankruptcy bill.
Yeah.
To exempt National Guard people who were deployed. And I mean that's just. These people say they support the troops. They don't at all.
That was obscene. That was just obscene.
They are obscene. They are obscene. There's something deeply wrong with them. It's just bad, 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 bad.
Well, that's we got to stay after it. Hey, I better move on and get some news in here. And I appreciate your call. And it's great to hear from you in San Antonio to know that there are some sane people deep in the heart of Texas.
There's a handful. Thanks a lot, guy.
Bye-bye. Hey, and I shouldn't talk that way completely. When I went to Crawford last year, a bunch of folks from the Democratic Underground held a dinner for me. Down at a great Mexican restaurant in Dallas, I'm telling you, it was great, and we visited and had such a good time all evening long. And it's so great to go to another part of the country and meet your listeners like that, you know. It was just a terrific evening, and the following day we went on down to Camp Casey there in Crawford, and you've heard me tell that story about the restaurant and the giving blood and all that before. What an interesting experience, and it was a very rewarding experience for me, meeting Cindy and all the people that hung out there, and the people at the Peace House and the whole business. It was really a great experience. Anyway, better late than never. Let's take a moment and pause for the news. You are listening to The Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is urging Congress to change the law so that Guantanamo Bay detainees can be brought before military tribunals. He is also announcing that as many as 14 top foreign terrorism suspects being held at secret CIA prisons are being transferred to Guantanamo Bay, where they'll be given protections outlined in the Geneva Convention. The Senate may today debate a resolution from Democrats that calls for a no-confidence vote on Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. The non-binding resolution is being offered as an amendment to a Defense Department spending bill, but both sides say the debate is likely to be brief and not likely to come to a vote. NASA will decide later today whether to reschedule Atlantis for launch tomorrow. Today's scheduled liftoff was postponed because of an electrical problem. More violence today in Baghdad, where two bombs exploded within minutes of each other during the morning commute, killing at least eight and wounding nearly four dozen civilians. In addition, 19 tortured bodies were discovered throughout Baghdad overnight. Turkey is pledging a troops for the UN peacekeeping force now being put together for southern Lebanon, becoming the first Muslim nation with diplomatic ties to Israel to do so. Meanwhile, Israel has announced that it will lift its air and sea embargo of Lebanon tomorrow night. The embargo has been in place since early July. Seven junior members of a British Prime Minister Tony Blair's government have resigned in protest over the fact that he has yet to set a date for leaving office. There was a published report today in London saying he'll leave next July, but his office denies it. Japan is celebrating the birth of the royal family's first male heir in 40 years. The baby boy, born to Princess Kiko, is a third in line to the throne. Mexico's president-elect Felipe Calderon is calling upon his opponent's supporters to end their protests over the disputed election, the results of which were certified yesterday by Mexico's electoral court. All public schools in Detroit have been closed until further notice due to a nine-day strike by teachers. So far, the courts have refused to step in to order the teachers back to work. The school year had been scheduled to begin yesterday. Florida Congresswoman Catherine Harris, who oversaw the recount of Florida's 2000 presidential election as Secretary of State, has won Florida's GOP primary and will challenge Democratic Senator Bill Nelson in November. The two-week-old Montana wildfire continues to burn out of control, but has grown very little in the last 24 hours, holding at around 280 square miles. Tropical storm Florence is gaining strength in the Atlantic, could become a hurricane by this weekend, and the family of crocodile hunter Steve Irwin turning down Australia's offer to give him a state funeral. His father says Steve was an ordinary guy and wouldn't have wanted it. This is the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Labor Department reports that worker productivity rose 1.6% in the spring quarter. That's down from the previous growth rate, but slightly better than had been expected. Wages were also up during the second quarter, rising at an annual rate of 4.9%. U.S. home mortgage applications up 1.8% last week, the first rise in applications since early August. Vivendi's Universal Music is buying a BMG Music Publishing for $2.1 billion, making it the world's biggest seller in music publishing. It was already the world's largest seller of recorded music. In an effort to gain consumer confidence, GM is expected to announce today that it will extend the warranties on its new vehicles. Ford Motors CEO Bill Ford has resigned to be replaced by Boeing executive Alan Mulally. Both Apple Computer and Amazon.com are announcing programs that will allow easy, legal access to thousands of movies on demand. Apple is expected to reveal its plans next week to offer downloadable movies from Disney. Amazon may announce as soon as tomorrow its plans to offer films from three major studios. Gold is down $4.50 announced this hour, trading at $641.40. Silver is trading at $13.19, up a nickel. And light sweet crude, down 42 cents a barrel, trading at $68.18. On Wall Street, all the markets are down. The Dow down 32 at 11,437. NASDAQ down 24 at 2181. And the S&P 500 is down 8 points at 1305. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James back, a very scared and worried Guy James, because we're all supposed to be scared and worried. Be scared, be afraid, be very afraid, because the terrorists are around every corner. But not to worry, the Republicans, they'll save us. They will protect us. Yes, there's not been a strike since 9/11, not on our soil. And so we are safe in their hands. But whatever you do, don't consider putting anybody else in office, because no one can keep it safe like the Republicans can. Why, even just a couple of weeks ago, we were saved again by this dastardly bombing that these terrorists in the U.K., why, my God, it was a close call. It was a really close call. They were going to knock down 150 airliners with, well, now nah, 10 or so. But hey, and by the way, you're listening to the Guy James Show. We're a little bit behind here today. We got to talking on and went past the news and had to do the news a little bit late. We do hope you'll call in today, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Now, if you're in Washington, D.C., you can call our Washington, D.C. Bureau at 202-370-6153. And if you live in the Phoenix area, you can call the Phoenix Bureau at 623-444-5252. Can't talk today. Give us a call. Love to hear from you. I started to talk about this bombing episode that was going to take place. And I'll let me see here. I wonder how long. A PhD friend of mine sent this to me, and I commented on it. I'll have it wait until after I go to the phone here for just a second. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, have you ever listened to the guy out on the West Coast comes on about 3 a.m. if you're ever up in the morning?
Oh, Ray or Bernie?
Bernie.
Yeah, well, sure.
What's he say? This country's effed up.
Yeah. Bernie's a good guy. I've met Bernie. He's a good guy.
He's pretty good, but he can't hold a candle to you.
Oh, I don't know about that. Hey,
in my book, you're the best.
I want to tell you something. You meet old Bernie off the air. That Bernie, he could be a stand-up comedian. He could be a philosopher. He could be a lot of things. Bernie's pretty cool.
If I could meet two people in person, you'd be one of them, and Bernie would probably be the next, because I love listening to both of you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored.
Listen, guy, you know, you was talking about Pakistan there. Did you hear the rumor that Bin Laden's going to be taking flight training over there in Pakistan? You didn't hear anything about it? Or?
No, I
you know, he's going to be flying one of those new fighting falcons that we sold to Japan. I mean,
it wouldn't be too bizarre, would it?
they come out with that news. You know, I was heard that about that general talking last night, you know, about, I don't know, was 10 o'clock at night or something. I finally got wind of it. And I was sitting there thinking, I said, wait a second. I went in and I told the wife, I says, do you remember anything about a big arms sales to Pakistan? She goes, no, I don't know. I didn't see it on Raw Story. And that's what, this was a little over a month or something ago. Well, it was July 3rd is when the news came out.
Well, I forgot to mention it.
And they sold $5 billion worth of fighter planes with an option to buy like 60 more or something.
Now, here's the question. I want to see the check that paid for them.
Yeah, well, you know how one hand washes the other.
Yeah, if they were paid for, which is highly doubtful.
Boy, my mind's just been going 1,000 miles an hour, guy. Isn't this this new movie that's coming up that we're all going to be watching? We got our VCRs set to tape it and everything. Isn't that something like an overblown Swift Boat ad?
Well put. Well put. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
The Swifties are a couple of days late, aren't they? Shouldn't they have gotten started right yesterday, the day after Labor Day? That's the official kickoff of the campaign season. I'm a little disappointed in them.
Listen, guy, you can't take and be putting reruns up for something like this. This has to be. They went high budget on this, and they said, well, we could bring out the Swift Boat guys again. They said, no. We're going to professionals this time. And so that's what this 9/11, I definitely will not watch it. In fact, I'll guarantee you, ABC, yeah, if I had a way to take that channel off my TV with a screwdriver hacking at it, I'd do it.
If I'd ever
watch ABC again, I hope something terrible happens.
I agree with you. And to think that's a Disney, I mean, you know, Walt Disney. Geez, I don't know what Walt Disney's politics were, but man, have they strayed off the reservation. Geez.
You know, Bernie Ward was really interesting. I'm sorry, I'm kicking somebody else's show here.
You can always talk about Bernie on this show.
Okay, because he was really getting down on ABC last night.
And, they got it coming.
It was pretty interesting. You know, they archive his show, but they only do 1 hour of his.
Hmm.
And I wish they'd do all of them. For you, where I can listen to all your shows, they're on White Rose.
Yeah, I listen to them myself once in a while, find out what I was talking about during the day.
I got a serious question, and I'm going to hang up.
All right.
If we could take and get some listeners, and maybe somebody, you know, myself included, you know, send a little bit more money in for these next 2 months, you think we'd get you on 5 days a week?
It's possible. It's possible.
You know, with this election coming up, we need a fix.
Oh, I really want on. I really like to be on 5 days a week. And, you know, we had to cut it down to three recently and do the replays on Monday and Friday strictly because of financial reasons. And I hate to air that kind of laundry on here. But, I mean, that's just the truth of it.
I understand that, guy. Money's tight every place. But I'd be willing to increase my donation to you. I mean, I don't have it, but I do it because, Jesus, every once in a while I start shaking in that. You know, when money's coming around, I'm tapping my arm going, Tuesday's on its way. Listen, guy, I'm going to let you go so you can take some other calls.
Hey, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you, guy.
Don't forget, I saw in the chat room a few minutes ago. Yeah, I saw it. They were talking about the big football game coming up Saturday. That's right. the big game. My beloved Ohio State Buckeyes are going to be playing the number 2 ranked Texas Longhorns down in Austin, Texas. It was a whale of a game last year, and I just got an idea this one's going to be a dandy as well. And that one last year nearly killed me the way it ended up. So I don't know. I don't know. I hope it ends up okay. Anyway, this is not a sports program, but you know I can't go too long without talking about my beloved Buckeyes. I'm going to take just a moment here before I get back to the phones here. I'm sure that no one's forgotten the British bombing story just a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or what is it, a month now? God, time flies so fast. You remember the ones that were going to blow up a bunch of airliners traveling from the UK to the US and kill thousands of people. You remember the whole thing. Well, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that the fear factor has increased by tenfold for American flyers, especially when there are some brown people aboard their airplanes. And I think it was August the 10th. When our airport personnel were ordered to stop every liquid known to man from being allowed on a commercial airplane. The people were caught in the UK, not here, but we were, now we're not able to take that bottle of Aunt Mabel's favorite perfume to her for her birthday anymore via the airline. Well, one has to remember the politics of the whole thing. Another fear-mongering episode is all it was, and it's sad that many people are really buying into it. In fact, Karl Rove is planning on everybody buying into it, at least the same dumb schmucks that he conned into voting for that imbecile who occupies the Oval Office right now. Those people I'm talking about. They would have us believe that these terrorists were going to go into the bathroom of an airliner that's in flight, mix up this witch's brew of chemicals that would blow up the plane. Hey, Lucy, you got some splaining to do on this one. You really got some splaining to do. Although the formula to make these bombs isn't overly difficult, the idea that someone could have gotten away with mixing them on a plane is absolutely ludicrous. They would have needed all the right chemicals, including lots of sulfuric acid, and get this, at least, this is the kicker, at least 25 pounds of ice to control the temperature of the reaction of the chemicals. They're going to be doing this in the laboratory of the plane, not laboratory, lavatory, and I could be wrong, but I believe the smell of the sulfuric acid and someone being in the lavatory on a plane for an hour or so just might have given the right people a hint or two that maybe something's wrong, okay? And as someone mentioned to me, the dumbest air marshal in the TSA might have figured out that there was a problem when he saw a passenger going into the lavatory with heavy-duty rubber gloves, an apron, several flasks, and a big block of ice. You think? 3 weeks later, the nation's top aviation security official said that the threat remains, and he goes on to say, this continues to be a very serious threat, and we are taking no chances on the security of our aviation system, said Edmund Kip Hawley, head of the Transportation Security Administration. It would be a mistake to conclude that because of the arrest of the United Kingdom that we can lower our security posture. Well, well, well. Anyone want to guess when a good time to, quote, lower our security posture might be? Maybe somewhere around November the 8th, you think? Or maybe they'll have the temerity to keep it up until the 2008 elections? After all, we've had this latest scare by these brown people. And we had that awful, awful, remember the police tape all over Miami? God, for blocks. That awful Miami 7 scare a couple of months ago where those non-Muslim black guys without even enough cash to buy their combat boots and fatigues they wanted so much. A couple of horrible things we've been saved from by our fearless leader and his army of observant anti-terror warriors, you know, the same ones who protected us from 9/11, of course. In the days after the TSA increased security, more than 10 flights, and you heard about a lot of them, were diverted or searched, or at least one airport was shut down. On August the 16th, a flight from London to Dulles International, have you ever flown into Dulles? Don't, if you haven't, don't do it, made an emergency landing in Boston because an unruly passenger acted up in the cabin. The woman made references to September 11th, and told crew members that she had visited Pakistan and urinated on the cabin's floor, according to an FBI affidavit. The woman, who is under evaluation for mental illness, is being held on federal charges of interfering with a flight crew, and she had no connection to terrorism, officials have said. But never mind that. That's gone in the hopper, you know, in the terror hopper. Be afraid, everybody. An airport in West Virginia was evacuated after a woman's glass water bottle and a container of face cleanser tested positive for explosive residue. What the hell are these women putting on their faces? The FBI later determined the woman had no explosives. The next week, a Northwest Airlines flight returned to Amsterdam shortly after takeoff when a U.S. Air Marshal became suspicious of 12 passengers who passed around cell phones and ignored orders to keep their seatbelts on. The 12 were detained but released by Dutch authorities, who also said there was no connection to terrorism. That last incident made headlines worldwide because the 12 young men were having a good time, having just been to a friend's wedding. And they were all traveling back to their homes in India together. The fact that they were all Muslim? Well, I'm sure that it didn't play into this equation at all. I would be surprised if all 12 guys from India were Muslim. I don't know. But there have been other incidents of people being denied boarding because of things written in Arabic on their clothing. We had one of the gentlemen on our show here last week, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, because he had, what was it said? It said on his T-shirt, we will not be silenced in English and in Arabic. I still think he had the quote of the year, said he was going to get the First Amendment put on a T-shirt in Arabic. I love that. But, you know, they're denying people all over the place, going, you know, fumbling, bumbling. It's awful. It's just awful. And now here they come. They roll out their terror plan for the election. Be afraid, everybody, but don't you worry. We're here. We're going to save your asses. We Republicans, we're just going to save you. And there's just no two ways about it. You vote for the Republicans, and we're going to keep you safe. You know, the Republicans are going to be playing that fear card again this November with their piss-poor record of protecting us. This it really seems like a suicidal approach. And a friend of mine, Tom Harper, sent me over a little thing he posted on his blog. Let me read it to you. This is from Tom Harper on his blog. This seemed like a suicidal approach, he said. It's true that Karl Rove's successful strategies are often counterintuitive, that is, attacking your opponent's strength instead of his weaknesses. But it's hard to imagine Rove's tactics working again this year. I'm not so sure about that, Tom. During the upcoming session of Congress, Republicans are planning to leave almost all of their legislative business unfinished, this do-nothing Congress. They'll be devoting the entire session to spinning the security issue and proving to us that we need to reelect them so they can keep on protecting us. A budget for 2007, immigration, lobbying reform, all these issues are being left in limbo so the Republicans can prance around and show us how tough they are. Okay, how have they protected us? Well, let's take a look. The September 11th attacks happened on the Republican watch. The person responsible for 9/11 is still at large 5 years later. In response to the 9/11 attacks, supposedly we invaded a country that had nothing to do with 9/11. This invasion has transformed Iraq from a brutal but stable dictatorship to a free-for-all killing field that's claimed almost 3,000 American soldiers. We've created a record deficit that our great-grandchildren will be paying off, whatever happened to the party of fiscal responsibility. And in the ultimate self-fulfilling prophecy, we've transformed Iraq into the terrorist haven that Bush always claimed it was. Oh, and we've alienated practically every country in the world except Israel. And this is the record that the Republicans want to run on? Somebody who's been divorced 12 times probably wouldn't make much of a marriage counselor. You wouldn't take driving lessons for someone who's had 15 accidents and 37 traffic tickets. But this is what the Republicans are asking the public to do. They laid the groundwork for 9/11 by repeatedly ignoring intelligence warnings that this exact type of attack would be happening. Hell, they had almost everything but the numbers on the tail of the aircraft. They've been unwilling, are unable to catch the mastermind of this attack. The Bush administration international blunders and screw-ups have created a better terrorist recruiting tool than Al-Qaeda could ever have dreamed of. And now Republicans think we should keep them in office because of their stellar performance, the only ones who can protect us against terror. And you know, like Tom said there, it makes him feel like getting down on the floor, rolling around, laughing his ass off. I mean, if a security guard allowed a record number of robberies and assaults to happen on his watch, you'd laugh in his face if he said, "I'm the only one who can protect you against criminals." These Republican screw-ups need to be laughed at and voted out this November. This is serious business, but it is a little bit funny when you think about it. And now Rumsfeld and Cheney are calling opponents of the Iraqi invasion terrorist sympathizers and comparing them to Nazi appeasers. Yes, sir. That's how you win votes. You tell two-thirds of American voters what a bunch of weak-kneed pussies they are. Way to go, guys. Democrats need to face the terrorism and Iraqi quagmire issues head on. It would be a fatal mistake, again, for them just to play up the social issues where they're favored by the voters and ignore Iraq. Terrorism and our shattered international reputation. That's where it's at in this election. Democrats need to grab the fear, terrorism issue and run with it and run hard with it. And when the swift boat veterans start cranking up the slime machine, and they will, oh, they will, we need to jump in there and take them on. Take them on head to head, face to face, nose to nose. We need to demonstrate to voters that 5.5 years of Republican protection has been nothing more than a pitiful smoke and mirrors show. Man, I'll tell you, these people do have nerve. They really do have nerve. I lost an argument. I did lose an argument. I told somebody, 6-8 months ago, that they wouldn't try it again, that they wouldn't take the worst thing against them and try turning it into something positive again. I did. I bet them they wouldn't do it. I'm wrong. I was absolutely wrong. They're doing it again. I'm just amazed at it. I really am. But it proves to me, and it ought to prove to you, that is the opinion of the American public, of Karl Rove and the entire Bush administration. They think that Americans, the voting public, most especially the schmucks that put them in office, they think those people are morons. Not only do they think those people are morons, they know it. They count on it. See, they got him in office once, them and the Diebold machines. Of course, you know, he got a fair amount of votes, too. And they thought, well, that didn't work too bad. Let's try it again. I doubt if it'll work a second time, but let's try it again. You know what? It worked a second time. And now they're working on number 3. And they actually believe it's going to work. Now, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's going to work again? Do you really think it's going to work again? I caught General Clark on the Neil Cavuto show. Someone called and told me that he's going to be on there, so I like General Clark and I wanted to watch it. Get a load of this. The way these bastards, you know, these Fox people, and Cavuto, I hate him. I just hate him. That whole Fox clan over there, what a bunch of pathetic bastards they really are. I mean, you know, you got your O'Reilly, you got your Hannity, you got that dumb schmuck that's his pawn, what's his name, Combs. An amazing list of people. And Cavuto's, you know, he's the haughty type. He thinks, well, I'm Neil Cavuto, I'm very intelligent, and General Clark, how could you possibly How could you possibly challenge me on anything I say? Let's listen to what they had, this back and forth. I thought in this little conversation that General Clark just ate his ass up.
6 days to 9/11, 5 years since America was attacked by terrorists. Proof that the nation is more secure? Depends on who you talk to. Democratic leaders out with a report called The Neocon. It claims that Bush Republicans have failed in the war on terror.
The facts do not lie. Under the Bush administration and this Republican Congress, America is less safe, facing greater threats, and unprepared for a dangerous world in which we live.
All right, to General Wesley Clark right now, his thoughts on that, part of this report issued today. General, we haven't been attacked almost 5 years. That's not bad.
Well, I'm delighted that we haven't, and I hope we'll never be attacked. The attack on 9/11 occurred on the president's watch. He took us into a war with Iraq we didn't have to fight. It's been used to incentivize recruiting in al-Qaeda. The number of people who are affiliated with al-Qaeda worldwide has more than doubled since 2001. Our armed forces are bogged down in Iraq. We haven't been able to effectively engage with North Korea. We're hearing the tom-toms beating for war with Iran. I think the American people can judge. This administration's policy has been a mistake, and he's not made us safer. He's left us more vulnerable.
Let me ask you, General, the folks we're fighting in Iraq right now, if we weren't fighting them in Iraq right now, where would they be?
Well, a lot of those folks we wouldn't be fighting at all, because what we did is we incentivized a whole generation of young radical people to come and defend Islam against the United States. That's the foreign terrorists that are there, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000
to
3,000.
So, General, who incentivized the USS Cole attack? Who incentivized the 93 attack on the World Trade Center?
You just changed the question. We did not have to attack Iraq. What we could have done is focused on Afghanistan and finished the job in Afghanistan. But, Neil, we didn't do that. You realize when we went into Afghanistan, we left Afghanistan again after only a couple of months. We left 8,000 combat troops there. We did none of the reconstruction. We didn't help the Afghan people recreate their economy. It had been devastated.
Well, could I ask you this, General? We didn't respond to the USS Cole in any measurable way. We didn't respond to the 93 attacks on the World Trade Center in any way. So is it just because this president's a Republican that you're bashing him and the prior one was not? That you're not?
No, it has nothing to do with that. In fact, you know, the people who attacked us at the World Trade Center, we arrested them. We broke up that ring. As far as the Cole attacks were concerned, a complete plan was worked up. By the time they had worked the plan up, it was December of 2000. The administration was about to go out of office. A Republican was going to come in. I think Richard Clark has told the full story of passing on a 20-page plan, along with all the details, to the National Security Advisor, Condoleezza Rice. They never got a hearing. This president went on vacation in August of 2001, despite the warnings that al-Qaeda was trying to attack. But let me give you an example, Neil. In 1999, we got word and intercepted a terrorist group that was trying to attack Los Angeles Airport for New Year's of 2000. We broke that attack up. That's because we had an effective White House counterterrorism strategy that was coordinating the agencies. That strategy fell apart in the early months of the Bush administration. You can talk to the people. It's a matter of record. This administration wanted to focus on weapons of mass destruction coming from North Korea. They wanted to focus on an ABM. They did not focus on the problem of terrorism until it was too late.
General.
And then they took us to a war we didn't have to fight in Iraq that has made the problem more difficult to come to terms with.
Bye.
bust a gut. Hillary.
Said you can't get any entertainment on this program. A little education, a little entertainment, a little levity now and then, and a chance to vent for everybody that's at home, thinking how pissed off they are about that movie that's coming out, or this latest phony baloney terror that the Bush people are putting on everybody. Are you scared? Too bad it isn't Halloween. Too bad they didn't have 9/11 Halloween all together. We dress up in nasty costumes, just scare hell out of one another. That's what they're trying to do. Imagine all the little old ladies, all the shut-ins at home, seeing the Bush speech today. Oh, God, the terrorists are out there. Better check the Bushes. Check them out. They're out there, those terrorists. They're around every corner, and I want to tell you something. Those of you people that live in areas that are racially diverse and ethnically diverse, you better look out. You just better look out. Anybody that's not white, Anglo-Saxon, Christian, check them out real close, okay? Y'all check them out real close. Because if they ain't white, Anglo-Saxon Christians, they's likely to be them their terrorists. And, buddy, you don't want to go messing with them, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to Guy James Show today. Glad to have all of you along with me. I know. You know, things are going. We heard Annie, the man Coulter, the other day talking about how swimmingly things are going in Iraq. And I heard that officer last night talking about how the good things in Iraq outnumber the bad things 10-1. And I guess that that officer that I saw last night just didn't hear about the Iraqi leaders saying that they've got 3 or 4 months to reconcile with each other. Mushandani, in the parliament over there, one of the leaders of the parliament said, "Hey, we've got 3 or 4 months to reconcile with each other. If this country doesn't survive, it's going to go under." They're worried that in 3 or 4 months. They've got a problem on their hands. They got a real problem on their hands. Oh man, I mean, sitting here looking at the chat room. I do that once in a while. It catches my eyes. somebody said, Sarge Simpson says, "I got the number 2 Al Qaeda guy under my desk." He didn't say guy. Al Qaeda could be a female. I don't know. You better watch that. Don't forget, and I do want to remind you, that after this program today, it doesn't end here. No. You got Bruce Birch coming up at 5 o'clock. Eastern, 5 Eastern, till 7. 2 hours of fun and frivolity and education for you from Bruce. Always something interesting on his show. I catch it as often as I can. And then after him, following him, the master, Bob Kincaid's going to be on as well. And then we've been having the old IE America days. IE America days. And with Mike Malloy. Used to fill in for Mike over at IE America back in the old days. And it hadn't been that long ago, has it? No, not that long ago. Anyway, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. You think this stuff doesn't work for the Republicans, these scare tactics? And we got the latest Zogby poll, came out today, and 5 years, the Zogby poll says, 5 years after 9/11, the bitter division between Republicans and Democrats on key issues is as intense as ever, with the two at loggerheads over the war in Iraq, wiretapping and surveillance, and what role, if any, Saddam Hussein played in the 2001 terror attacks. New polling by Zogby International shows. Now, it's almost too much when you see these things. You know, the dramatic polarization highlighted by the fifth anniversary of the terror attacks in New York and Washington comes as a bitter midterm election season looms over control of both houses of Congress. Democrats are going to take it back, by the way. Going to take it back. Half of American voters, 50%, these would be the people that don't drool, can tie their shoes, can eat their dinner without a bib on. This would be your 50% of the people right there. People that can make change for a dollar, all that sort of thing. Um, 50% of them say there was no link between Saddam Hussein and the 9/11 terror attacks. These are the people that heard the Bush administration disavow any knowledge of any connection between the two, which they have many times when backed into a corner. When they're on TV, they say that. When they go out and make their little private speeches, they say otherwise. And 46% believe there is a connection. 46% of the people in the United States of America are either terribly misinformed, just don't give a shit, or are idiots. And man, those are not good choices right there. Wow. 37% of respondents in the poll agreed that Saddam was connected to the attacks and that the Iraq war was justified as retribution for his involvement. Can you imagine that? You know, it's like the old thing when we used to sign up for the university. I remember sitting in the orientation the first day at my beloved Ohio State and having the speaker up on the stage saying, look at the person on your left and look at the person on the right and understand that neither one of them will be there when you graduate. And here we have it just about that way. No matter where you are today, look on your left and look on your right. Well, and realize that one of those people thinks that Saddam was connected to the attack and that the Iraq war was retribution for his involvement. Can you imagine being that out of it today? Can you imagine being that out of it today in this world with all the information that's available to us? While 48% believe there is no connection between Saddam and 9/11 and the Iraq war, has diverted America's attention from the actual war on terror. The division is starker, though, on the question of whether expanding the war on terror by invading Iraq was the right decision. There, 49% say the invasion was the right decision. How the hell could you look at this war in Iraq right now and say that this was the right thing to do? By any measure you can think of, any measure whatsoever, this has been an abject failure. I don't care. First of all, financially, it's breaking us. Secondly, and most importantly, look how many people we've lost. Look how many people the Iraqis have lost that are innocent. Look at the standing of the United States on the world stage. And 49% of the people in the United States say the invasion was the right decision. Makes me scared to go out of my house. That half the people out there are friggin' idiots. Oh, man. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Whoop, boy, that person didn't last long. Bang, boom, gone. So, on with this Zogby poll. 82% of the Republicans. Jesus. God, this is disturbing. This is really disturbing. It makes you wonder if they didn't add up their numbers right. 82% of the Republicans saying the decision was the right one. 82%. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible that 82% of that party, that just shows you how far off the tracks that party has come. That just shows you how effective that son of a bitch Rush Limbaugh and his little Nazi friend Hannity and Fox News, that just shows you how effective those people have been working on the minds, the weak minds of the Republican Party members. 82, you know, I used to have respect for these people. I used to have respect for the party. And I suppose I still do have respect for what the party was at one time, that we had our honest disagreements and so forth. But the Republican Party that is there today, something terribly wrong with it. Terribly wrong with it. I mean, they've descended into a hell, a political hell. Let's try the phone again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, it's Terry up in Fort Myers.
Hi, Terry.
I just wanted to throw in, I know you didn't get much time, and I just want to throw in one thing here that I thought you'd be kind of interested on. It came out Monday. There was a report by David Sirota in the San Francisco Chronicles talking about the war on workers and talking about the GOP's bringing on their mentality and their verbiage, you know, of putting organized labor, you know, the actual working people, you know, the firemen, the policemen, and et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's a member of a union type thing, as the enemy, okay? And there's one piece in here that I wanted to read to you because this is the absolute mindset of the Republicans towards the American people. And it says, as one Republican lawmaker told Novak, talking about Bob Novak on his show, GOP leaders champion an anti-union attitude that appeals to the mentality of hillbillies at revival meetings. That is their verbiage on a public forum that is very brazen. That shows just exactly what they think of the American population.
Oh, mama, yeah.
And I'll send you that link so you can get it.
Please do. That's a beaut. That is a beaut.
I just, you know, you were sitting here and you were talking about all this, and I just kind of wanted to slide that in. The bottom line is the neocons that are out here perpetrating all of this garbage. I mean, from top to bottom, it's nothing but garbage. Their mindset is they consider every single American out here to have the mentality of hillbillies at a revival meetings.
Well, I can't say I disagree.
that's in print, and that is quotations.
Yeah, send me that, will you?
It's on its way to you right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
Anyway, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
One last call real quick. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
GOP leaders champion and anti-union.
Someone's got their radio on.
Guy, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm calling you too late, but I just wanted to let you know I'm seeing it. This term terrorist, it's not a real word. It is people trying to defend their countries that have been invaded by foreign powers, and we call them insurgents, and we call them terrorists. There are people that don't like their country being invaded.
Yeah, you go back through history, and there's people that have been unhappy and struck out at people and like that. I mean, it's no different now. It really isn't. And yet they're trying to make it into something that it isn't.
It's a word that they just throw about freely, like those people that are terrorists because they don't like their country invaded.
Yeah, but it sounds good, doesn't it? It's terror.
Yeah.
Terror, be afraid.
Yeah, yeah, make me break out in a rash. Yeah.
That's good, Dave. That's good. I like it. Do you know anybody, Dave? Do you know anybody? And we only got just about 30 seconds left. Do you know anybody that's just really scared?
Not many. No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't think of any thinking person that